Welcome to the Green Insider, powered by eRenewable. Each and every podcast, host Mike Niemer will bring you energy experts to help you better understand the renewable and sustainability space. Education's important to us because it's important to you, the listener. Now, here's Mike Niemer.
Welcome back to the Green Insider podcast, powered by eRenewable. I'm your host, Ron Culver, and with me, as always, is Mike Niemer, CEO of eRenewable. On today's episode, Mike is joined by Bill Daly, co-founder and vice president of Standard Hydrogen Corporation. But before we dive into their conversation, let's hear from Mike's better half, COO of eRenewable, Ann Niemer.
Ann Niemer here, COO of eRenewable. We know today whether you're a public company, private equity, or privately held company, ESG and sustainability are important to your company. At eRenewable, we can help you achieve some of those goals. If you have any questions or need any assistance with regards to reaching your sustainability goals, please visit us at eRenewable.com to learn more. As always, thank you for listening to The Green Insider, powered by eRenewable.
Thanks, Ann. And now here's Mike with the co-founder and vice president of Standard Hydrogen Corporation, Bill Daly.
Welcome to The Green Insider podcast, powered by eRenewable. I'm Mike Niemer, and welcome to the show where we have a guest today from the Northeast. Not too cold there today, is it, Bill?
Not too bad. It's about 20, 25 degrees today, so it's about 30 degrees warmer than it felt yesterday.
That's Bill Daly, co-founder and vice president of Standard Hydrogen Corporation, joining us today, talking everything hydrogen. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Since you're a first-timer to the show, please do our listeners a favor and give us a little background on yourself, and then tell us about Standard Hydrogen.
Sure. My name is Bill Daly. I am a little bit of an oddball in the energy world in that I am an entrepreneur, but I got there by being an attorney. My training is actually in law. I've got an MBA as well. And then functionally, my second job out of school, I ended up working for a company called MTI Microfuel Cells. They were working on direct methanol fuel cells. And then from there, I started my own practice where I've done a lot of work with energy technology companies. And then a few years ago, actually about 10 years ago, I had a friend of mine, his name is Paul Mottolo, asked me if I wanted to help him start a company. Well, it seemed like an interesting company. And then he asked me to be one of the founders with him. And that company is the Standard Hydrogen Corporation. And what we're doing is we're trying to take overnight renewable energy and turn that into hydrogen. So a lot of energy, in particular up in the Northeast or the Northwest, where you have a lot of hydropower, that just goes to waste. It doesn't, you know, you're not spinning turbines at 2 o'clock in the morning because there's no demand for that energy. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to take that energy, convert it into hydrogen, and then use it either for transportation, whether that's charging electric vehicles, or use that to inject into a behind-the-meter customer, or perhaps it's in some instances, even back onto the distribution grid.
Well, you're the first person that's talked about overnight renewable energy, okay? So let's go a little deeper into that as to how that's kind of the premise behind what you guys are doing, turning into hydrogen.
Sure.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So renewable energy is great, but it is not very predictable. Right. You don't, you know, if you think of the prime times when you need electricity, 7 o'clock at night is one of those prime times. Well, the wind's not always blowing at 7 o'clock at night. Sometimes, you know, you're getting great use out of whether it's hydro or wind or solar at times when you don't need it. In those cases, that energy gets curtailed, or those resources get curtailed, and we end up not using those effectively or efficiently. And so what Standard Hydrogen's model is we're trying to use that energy to create hydrogen. And then we're going to use that hydrogen and run either through a fuel cell so that you can separate the protons from the neutrons, protons from the electrons, and use that to either power a charger or the coming generation of fuel cell vehicles.
So are you buying in the market the next day power because that's what's available the very next day? Are you on contract with people buying it under term contract so that you get everything that they have left over?
That's a great question. It's gonna depend. Certainly, I don't think that each of our stations is going to be able to take everything that a given provider has left over. But I think that we'll have good opportunity to buy on contract, and whether that's from hydro or wind, those are great resources for us because those are in New York. Those are really resources that could be utilized more effectively.
It's odd that I've done, over 220 episodes, and nobody's ever chosen that word to use, overnight renewable energy. And so I find that a little bit fascinating. Out of all the sustainable and the energy people I've had on the phone, I've not heard that word before. So thank you for that. I'm glad to have learned
Well,
about that and learned there's something that can be done with it.
look, is this a perfectly efficient process? No, it is not a perfectly efficient process. Anytime that you're going from electricity to hydrogen to electricity, you're going to have a round trip efficiency loss, and we fully expect it and accept that. But what that doesn't it that that doesn't excuse us for not using it for anything. And so, if we have the ability where we can use that energy. In particular, where there are spots on the grid where there is congestion, in particular for big behind the meter customers, or in particular, if there are spots where, for example, if you wanted to put in a bank of DC EV chargers, that it's going to potentially cripple the grid, or it's all going to have to get slowed down very to a very great extent, then it makes sense to really start looking at storage. Once you decide that you're going to do storage, you have to figure out where you're going to get your electrons. And when you start dealing with grid delivered things, like many of the locations that we're going to have, there's just not room to put a windmill there or a solar farm there. So then you have to start really looking at grid delivery, and your market becomes not so much a where, but a when. And that overnight is the time when there is the least demand and there's the most freedom on the transmission and distribution grid. So that's what we're using to bring the electrons to our stations.
Well, with that said, knowing that we're on a podcast, so this is only on audio, so paint the picture for the listener as how a little bit more detail on how you're converting that overnight renewable energy into actually green hydrogen.
Okay, so we use there are three main devices in our system, and we call this system the ETS, the Energy Transfer System. And the main three elements are an electrolyzer, and that just takes electricity and water and creates hydrogen. We generally can think that venting the oxygen will be the more useful or the easier way to deal with that, but there may be some instances where we can capture it. Once you capture that hydrogen, though, you compress it and you put it into a large storage array. And that's just a bunch of very large cylinders that are used to store hydrogen under compression. And then that third element is the fuel cell. And that fuel cell does the opposite of the electrolyzer. And it takes that hydrogen, it breaks it into electricity and creates water as its only exhaust. And so in doing that, you start with electricity and water, and you end with electricity and water, and there are no associated emissions.
So that it, you're 100, you have 100% green product at that point, correct?
Correct, and certainly that will depend on where we get our electricity from. And there may be some instances when we don't always have the opportunity to buy clean electricity. And we may have to make a decision where occasionally we will buy typical electricity or non-green electricity in order to provide storage at times when that's going to be a real premium. But that our model is to buy exclusively green ex unless there is excuse me, unless there are extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, so basically, brown power on the grid is your backup generator, so to speak. So if you run out of the green product, you just use the brown power, right?
Correct. And you have to do a calculation there to make sure that that is both economically and environmentally the right decision. And in many cases it actually could be because you could prevent a peaker plant from coming online or using other really carbon intensive or emissions intensive generation rather than some of the less than perfect.
So with regards to your EV charging, are you hoping to build standalone EV charging stations or put just your EV charging, a couple of them, at multiple locations, whether it be a convenience store, big box store, or wherever? What's kind of your model?
So our model is that we'll have a single system, a single ETS that will be able to provide both electrical power for EV charging as well as for an on-site facility, as well as hydrogen. And so in an area that's roughly the size of a gas station, perhaps a little bit smaller because we're not at least initially going to have convenience stores associated with it. We'll be able to put down a facility that can, generate a couple of megawatts of power, and have significant storage.
So are you thinking because of the availability of hydrogen to be put into a hydrogen vehicle, are you looking at more of a commercial industrial type customer or client?
I think so, and here's why. And it's probably best explained with an example. So if you use, let's take a grocery a grocery distributorship. That grocery distributorship, if we could edit that out, that would be terrific.
I might leave it in because it's kind of funny. It's a tongue twister. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Grocery distributorship is harder to say than I thought it was. But if you look at a grocery distributorship, you have a situation where you have very high electric needs, but you also have vehicles that are coming and generally returning back to that facility. So it's almost like a bee in a hive situation. Well, with our facility, you could actually use the fuel cell to charge electric vehicles, but also to do some demand charge management to help reduce the overall cost of running the facility. In addition, it's our expectation that the next generation of work trucks probably won't be electric because the issues associated with electric trucks they're tough. The economics get very tough because you have a very long recharge time. Whereas if you have hydrogen and a fuel cell vehicle for, a box truck or a small delivery truck, I'm not necessarily talking semis or huge vehicles, but for those smaller vehicles, then you can refill them just the same way that you can with the diesel truck. I mean, obviously the nozzle looks a little bit different. You're dealing with the different fuel, but even the existing methods of fueling the experimental or the pilot fuel cell vehicles, they're very similar to diesel generation or excuse me, diesel fill-ups or gasoline fill-ups.
And when you say similar, you're talking with regard to the time it takes to fill up the truck, correct?
Right. The time and the mechanics. Now, is it always as fast as a liquid fuel? No, because when you're dealing with a compressed gas, you have to deal with things a little bit more carefully sometimes, and so you don't always get the same flow rate. But it's a very similar experience, and it may not be a 2-minute fill up. It might be a 7 or 8 minute fill up, depending on what your equipment is and what your vehicle is. But it is not measured in hours. It's still measured in minutes.
Yeah, that's significantly faster than the electric charging.
Absolutely. And that, look, batteries are great and they're great for residential vehicles. I'm not attacking the battery world at all. I think that's a huge part of this, but so are we.
So typically, we think of a vehicle, we think of miles per gallon, right? And EV charging, you think of miles per charge or whatever like that. Hydrogen, how's it compare on the distance that they could travel on one car or on one fill up?
Well, we're very lucky because a kilogram of hydrogen has roughly the same energy content as a gallon of diesel. And so you can look at, okay, 10 kilograms equals about 10 gallons of diesel. The ranges are similar, and that just depends on the vehicles, as well as the way that they're used. And so I hate to give you the classic lawyer answer of it depends,
Yeah,
but it depends.
no, I got it. We're in the middle of political season. Why not just say it that way then, right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so we covered charging, and that makes perfect sense. And we appreciate all those definitions you gave us. Let's go into the storage for a little bit with regards to what you're going to try to do there. So when you put your hydrogen, your developed hydrogen into the storage, are you then keeping it in storage for your own company's use, or are you selling it to other people?
So what we're really trying to do is we're trying to provide energy storage as a service. And so that's specifically behind the meter energy storage. Now that also goes with hydrogen, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to provide a way to provide a lot of demand charge mitigation, in some cases taking people off the grid if they have a if they have a captive renewable asset. But we're trying to provide a way that we can provide energy storage for our clients. In doing so, we can help them keep that off of their books in terms of capital expense, which can be a very expensive item on an accounting standpoint. But more importantly, it allows us, it allows them to have confidence that they're working with people who understand hydrogen and who are well-versed in the safety and the economics and figuring out how to make it work in a way that creates value, not just for standard hydrogen, but for them.
So, Bill, what is your as we're just beginning 2024, what's kind of your game plan for this calendar year and the next 2 or 3 years with regards to Standard Hydrogen Corporation and their goals and aspirations?
Sure. So we are at a point where we are where we had a previous program that, due to the economic issues related to inflation, has been delayed. But we've actually got a second our second major project is now going to be our first major project. I can't actually talk about locations or clients at this point just because we don't have it papered yet and it's subject to a non-disclosure agreement. But we've got a facility in the planning. It'll be a multi-use facility that will have hopefully some transit assets. Hopefully there will be some electrical opportunities for us. And it's in a community and with a municipality that is very, very favorably disposed to moving towards us. So, in the next few months, I expect that we'll not only will announce that, but we'll finish our preliminary plans. We've got a lot of we've got just about all of our site agnostic engineering done, which is a huge task, and I'm very grateful for the people that we're working with. And so, that the first piece is we need to build one, so that we can learn how to do it better, so that we can learn, if we're overbuilding, where we're underbuilding, and also how to make sure that we can do it in a way that meets all of the safety requirements and then some. But also does that in a reasonable and economic way. So, step one is to build and learn. And then step two is you move into the shampoo phase, which is lather, rinse, repeat. Keep doing that.
Very good. Well, when you put your press release out and you're ready to make that announcement, I invite you back to one of our Follower Fridays, which is a shorter 6 to 10 minute podcast that's meant for press releases or big announcements from previous guests. So I welcome you back to make that announcement on the air also.
I appreciate that and very much look forward to it.
Bill, thank you so much for your time today. Great information. Good luck to you guys at Standard Hydrogen Corporation. Sounds like the time's right for you guys to go down that right path.
Yeah, and look, it's not always easy. But it's usually a lot of fun and it's always been interesting. So we're looking forward to feel like we've earned the right to start tackling a few bigger problems, and so we're very excited about that.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bill Daley, co-founder and vice president of Standard Hydrogen Corporation, joining us today on the Green Insider, powered by eRenewable. I'm Mike Niemer. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
A big thanks to Bill Daley for joining the podcast today. And thank you all for listening. A brief reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Green Insider podcast, what are you waiting for? Become one today from wherever you receive your podcasts. And please leave us a 5-star rating.